Members, we'll call the Ways and Means Committee to order, and we do have a quorum, so if I could perhaps get Representative Davids to move approval of the minutes, we'll...
Mr. Chair, this is Representative McNamara. I'll move the minutes.
Representative McNamara moves the minutes. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Minutes are approved. Members, our single agenda item today is the adoption of the budget resolution, and for that, we will turn to Representative Holberg. Representative Holberg.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, before you get there, would there be a possibility? Things have been breaking rather rapidly. We got the budget resolution, I think, late Friday afternoon, and I did have a chance to talk with the chair. The problem is that we haven't really had, from our side of the aisle, an opportunity to really thoroughly discuss the budget resolution, and would there be a possibility of a short recess before we vote on the budget resolution and or take up amendments?
Representative Holberg.
Mr. Chair, Representative Carlson, that would be fine. It's our intent to be done by 11:15 this morning, otherwise come back after session. So I don't know what type of time frame you're looking for, but if it's going to be of any extended length, then I would say that we should just plan on coming back after session.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know that we need a lot of time, but being that the ability to gather people on a Monday morning when they were coming in, we did have an attempt, but we had a number of people that weren't here yet. So if we could have maybe just 10 or 15 minutes, and I think that would still be time. I don't think we're going to have a lot of amendments, but if you wouldn't mind, maybe a 10 or a 15-minute break, and then our folks would meet over in room 272, if that would be all right.
Representative Carlson, we will have a brief recess and reconvene promptly at 10:35. With the intention of still wrapping up and voting this resolution through by 11:15. So we will take a 15-minute recess, members.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Members, the Committee on Ways and Means is back in order after our recess. And Representative Holberg, to your resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. It's the job of the Ways and Means Committee to adopt budget targets for this budget process. You have in front of you the proposed budget targets. It has KN-RES-01 in the upper right-hand corner. There's two typos in the document that I'd like to incorporate those changes. On line 1.11, after the numeral 4, we need to add a comma and three zeros. And on page 2, line 1, after the numeral 8, we need to add a comma and three zeros. I'd like to incorporate that into my motion for approval of the budget targets.
Representative Holberg has moved the KN-RES-01 resolution with the changes she just mentioned incorporated. Representative Holberg, to your resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And the budget targets before the committee today allow for us to live within our means. It reflects the February forecast numbers. It allows that we have made some priorities within these funding targets, and that we have retained funding in the K-12 area. I'd note that this level of spending on an apples-to-apples basis reflects about a 5% increase over current biennial spending. Certainly it does not rise to the level of projected spending, but we feel these numbers are living within our means, and that we'll be able to meet the necessary needs of the state in the numbers reflected in this target.
Thank
I'd be happy to stand for questions, and I understand there's three amendments.
Thank you, Representative Holberg. I want to make sure that we actually get to a vote by 11:15 today, members. So if you have comments or discussion to the resolution, Representative Holberg will stand for questions and discussion, and then at, I would say, probably no later than 10:55, we'll need to move to our amendments. So with that, members, questions, discussion. Representative Carlson.
Mr. Chairman, I think from our perspective, in the interest of the time you've indicated, a good part of the discussion can come about as we propose some of the amendments that in and of itself will lead to some of the key points that the minority would like to make. And then, of course, we'll have some wrap-up comments.
Thank you, Representative Carlson. Anybody else from the majority or anyone else who wants to have any discussion before amendments? With that, we will move to amendments.
Excuse me, I do have one question, because the minority leader asked this question on the House floor, and it does deal with the timeline. If the author of the resolution and the chair, what is the status of testimony? What's usually happened before we vote on the resolution historically, the question is posed, does anybody in the audience want to comment? Is that going to be an opportunity or not?
Representative Carlson, and perhaps Representative Holberg wants to chime in here, but we did take a look back through the last few years, and actually there has not been any public testimony solicited on the budget resolutions. Chair Holberg and I talked briefly today, and our hope was that if we could get through the amendments, we would offer a chance for public testimony, again, understanding that we're under deadline and we're going to have many, many days and a lot of detailed finance bills within which to solicit public testimony on the particulars. So if we can get through the amendments and have enough time, be glad to solicit input from the audience members who are here today.
And Mr. Chairman, my memory, and I've been here for a few sessions, is very different than that. Testimony wasn't often lined up per se, but at least the question was raised. Is there anybody that would like to comment?
Mr. Chair?
Representative Holberg.
I think it's pretty rare that that hasn't been posed, but we'll move ahead with your agenda.
Mr. Chair, if I might, we had staff listen to the tapes going all the way back through 2007. And in every instance, whether it was Representative Faust, Representative Solberg, Representative Swales, chairing, there was never any request for public testimony. We've listened to the tapes. The only exception, which is rather ironic, is when I was chairing the committee for Chair Solberg and we were doing price of government, I did ask for testimony. But we have the documentation of all the meeting dates, and we listened to the tapes, and it just was not asked in the last 4 years.
Thank you, Representative Holberg, and thank you, Representative Carlson. So I think we'll stick with our plan, and if we can get through these amendments and have a chance for some public input, we'll be glad to do that. Again, just wanting to make sure we get this resolution passed through Ways and Means here today so the rest of the committee actions can take place accordingly. So with that, I guess I would start with Amendment RES A1, if somebody wants to offer that, and unless the minority would like a different order to the amendments to be presented.
Mr. Chair, I'll offer that up.
Representative Rukavina offers the KN-RES-A1 amendment. Representative Rukavina, to your amendment.
Mr. Chair and members, this amendment deals with the Jobs and Economic Development Committee's cuts, and what it would do would be to restore it, if you look on the spreadsheet that we've been handed out by the committee, to what the governor's recommendation is in the last column. Let me just preface one of my short comments by saying that I really like Representative Gunther, and he's a good guy, and I feel sorry for him, because every time Representative Gunther gets to chair the Jobs and Economic Development Committee, it seems that he gets hammered and hit harder than anybody. And I know that, you know, well, philosophically we may differ on some things. I believe that Representative Gunther feels like I, that government can take a positive role in having programs that help particularly our small businesses. You know, we've got I think close to 200,000 Minnesotans still on unemployment insurance. Hundreds, probably close to 100,000 or better that have actually completely fallen off the system. And to me, to be cutting the Economic Development Committee's budget by 58% is just really a non-starter. I've said it on the House floor, Mr. Chair, and said it to you. Oh, I got you to look to your left. Unbelievable. Anyway, I've said it to you on the House floor that, you know, there's absolutely no proof that no new taxes have meant any jobs created in this state. In fact, the facts are there that no new taxes have meant no new jobs. And I just feel that this is wrong. We have all these families and individuals either underemployed or unemployed completely, and the state has to do something to jumpstart these jobs again. And so I offer this amendment, and Mr. Chair, I'd ask for roll call vote.
Roll call having been requested, Representative Holberg to the Rukavina amendment, and then for broader discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Rukavina, I'm just wondering where you get the additional money.
I'm just printing.
Representative Rukavina.
Well, the governor has a proposal, and you know, that's what I'm going after. It was the governor's numbers, and he's got a proposal to raise money, and so I'm hoping that eventually you'll you know, reconsider your opposition to raising taxes on some of the wealthier folks in the state that can afford it, and that's where I'm hoping you're going to come around before this bill gets to the floor.
Just the resolution.
Representative Holberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Rukavina. I don't share your hope, but I would urge members to vote no on the amendment.
Further discussion to the Rukavina A1 amendment. Representative Westrom.
So, question to Representative Rukavina. Are you proposing the entire governor's tax increases as part of yours? Or
well, Mr. Chair.
What are the components?
Representative Rukavina.
Mr. Chair and Representative Westrom, I don't know. You know, the governor's proposals have been a little changing a little bit, too, and his initial proposals have changed. If I had my way, you know, I'd probably go back as a starter before I ask for the wealthy to pay their fair share. I'd probably, you know, do some things that looking at what we did in the early part of this decade that cost us money, such as the changes in school, K-12 financing in particular, but also some of the income tax changes. But I, you know, I don't have that power. If you recall, Representative Westrom, I did try to run for governor, but evidently, you know, my stature wasn't big enough to make it, so I can't decide. I mean, I'm not the person to tell Governor Dayton how his proposal should change and what he should do, but I support an overwhelming part of the governor's proposal, put it that way.
Representative Westrom. Well,
Mr. Chair, I'm waiting to get an electronic copy, so Representative Rukavina, is there parts of his tax increase or all of his tax increase as part of your amendment?
Representative Rukavina.
As Representative Holberg asked.
No. Representative Holberg, as I told her, that I'm just offering to bring this back to the governor's proposal. His cut is much kinder than the cut the target that Representative Gunther has been given. So, in the end, Representative Westrum, just as we compromised, overwhelmingly compromised with Governor Pawlenty in the last 4 years, I think that you will come to the realization that you're going to have to reach some kind of compromise too. And this is a start.
Further discussion, members? With that, a roll call having been requested, the committee legislative assistant will call the roll.
Representative Downey.
No.
Representative Carlson.
Yes.
Representative Abler.
No.
Representative Anderson.
No.
Representative Sarah Anderson.
No.
Representative Beard.
No.
Representative Briner.
Yes.
Representative Biskins.
No.
Representative Champion. Representative Davids.
No.
Representative Eakin.
Yes.
Representative Garofalo.
No.
Representative Greiling. Representative Gunther.
Reluctantly, no.
Representative Hackbarth. Representative Hamilton.
No.
Representative Hornstein.
Yes.
Representative Howes.
No.
Representative Huntley.
Yes.
Representative Kahn.
Yes.
Representative Kiffmeyer.
No.
Representative Lanning.
No.
Representative Lincheski.
Yes.
Representative McNamara.
No.
Representative Nornes.
No.
Representative Pulowski.
Yes.
Representative Rukavina.
Yes.
Representative Slawick.
Yes.
Representative Smith.
No.
Representative Wagenius.
Yes.
Representative Westrom.
No.
Representative Holberg.
No.
There being 18 nays and 11 ayes, the motion, the Rukavina A1 amendment, does not pass. I have an A3 amendment. Is there somebody prepared to offer the A3?
Well, Mr. Chair, I've been given that task.
Representative Rukavina.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, what this would do would bring the number back up to Governor Dayton's. If you look on the higher education line on the spreadsheet, we've been given to his $2,745,672,000 number. And, you know, again, I'll start off by saying I know Representative Nornes is a good guy, too, and he doesn't like the target he got. In fact, I thought he was going to fight harder for a smaller cut because I know he's worried about it, and he's been given some terrible tasks, too, in the past when he's chaired the Higher Education Committee. Member enrollments are up significantly at both the MinSCU and the university systems because of the economic situation. A lot of non-traditional students, in particular, have gone back to school. The tuition increases... we all remember what happened, Representative Nornes, the last time that you chaired back in the early 2003, I believe it was, when the cuts were just about similar to the ones we're looking at here as far as percentages. And we know that tuition in the state escalated in every corner of the state in double-digit numbers for about a three-year period. Representative Hamilton, I thank you for listening intently to me because, you know, in your area... from your area to Representative Lanning's area to my area and everywhere in between in this state, those jumps were anywhere from, at the community college systems, from 10, 11, 12%, and the university systems about the same. So, members, to me, tuition is a tuition increase is a tax increase. You can look at it any way you want, whether it's young people starting out, getting huge debt, and in fact, you know, there's a lot of economists in this country that think tuition debt could be the next huge crash, just like the housing market was. But it is a tax increase nonetheless. And so, you know, I've just got to say this. Something's fundamentally wrong when I look at this spreadsheet and I see that the judiciary crime bill is their judiciary omnibus bill or target is a 1% decrease and higher education is a 15% decrease. You know, I think training people to do positive things with their life is a lot better than having them end up in a penitentiary or something somewhere where it's going to cost us a lot more. And so, just in ending, let me say this. Every single time that this state has jumped ahead economically and prospered, we have invested in education. And I don't care whether it's K-12 or higher ed. The proof is there if you look at history. So, members, I hope you reconsider this number, and I'd appreciate your support. And I'd like a roll call on this, too, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Rukavina. To the Rukavina A3 amendment, the author of the resolution first.
Mr. Chair, I would oppose the Rukavina amendment. Again, it doesn't take money from another area, but rather raises overall spending.
Mr.
To the Representative Rukavina.
Madam Chair, can you be nice to me and give me one out of two?
Representative Holberg.
I know you want to. Look at that reluctance.
Actually, Representative Rukavina, I don't. Sorry.
Discussion to the Rukavina A3 amendment. Representative Breinhardt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll support Representative Rukavina's amendment here with comments that I've made in this committee previously. I think we all have realized the staffing cuts that most of our districts or our communities have already faced. If we have post-secondary institutions, the graduation timelines for many of our students have been extended because they don't have staff to teach the courses that allow them to get through in the 4 years that we're recommending they graduate in. The tuition increases, we've heard from many of our students about the level of debt they're carrying. It's impeding their future decisions, their ability to move forward with careers that might better serve our state because they have to look at the bottom line of the debt they're carrying. And I think it's somewhat ludicrous to say we're holding education harmless at the K-12 level and doing this to higher ed because they're really a continuous system, and the consequences to underfunding higher ed at this level will dramatically affect our jobs capabilities in the state.
Thank you, Representative Bryant. Other discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Carlson.
Just very quickly, in support of the Rukavina amendment, you know, the if we look back a few years, the ratio was one-third tuition on the cost of instruction and two-thirds in terms of the state commitment, that partnership. And, of course, that has eroded through the years as our funding from the state perspective has dropped. And there's the workforce argument that you've heard here and the impact on tuition. But the other thing I think we have to remember is that research is also a major part of higher education. And the ability to continue to fund that research, which is also a job creation, with the numbers that are before us are at risk as well. So I would encourage support.
Thank you, Mr. Carlson. Representative Anderson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and members. I had the opportunity this weekend. I had a group of high school students that had a debate on higher education versus all-day kindergarten funding, and you know, the arguments that these students made, and as far as higher education is that we can't just look at what we do and provide for higher education funding. We also need to look at what kind of structure we put in place for the businesses within the state of Minnesota, that there are businesses to hire these students when they actually graduate from college. And I think by Representative Rukavina inserting Governor Dayton's plan in here, with all the tax increases that are involved in that and the job-crushing reality of his proposal, I think that that's a true travesty. And since you have no other way of funding it, I'm assuming that you're going to be supporting all of Governor Dayton's tax increases. And that's problematic. And I think that we need to be looking at that picture as a whole. So,
thank you, Representative Anderson. Further discussion? Representative Westrum.
Mr. Chair, just for the record, Representative Anderson, to refresh your memory, they aren't going to. There isn't any support in the House for Governor Dayton's tax increases. We've already had that vote on the floor. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was unanimous against that proposal. So I don't think you should assume that that's how they're going to fix it. There must be some other tax increases, but that plan at least doesn't have a threat of support in the House based on the recent vote.
Representative Kahn?
Well, Mr. Chairman and members, one of the things that higher education gets to do is it sometimes trains economists and it trains people to have a little understanding of economy. And every one of the economists who have gone through a serious higher education status on this have said that cutting that the stimulus bill was far more valuable than the tax cuts in terms of getting jobs. And they've also said that support of higher education in the state is far more important to the business climate. When you ask people why they've moved a business into Minnesota or why they like to be located here, it's partially because of the superiority of our higher education system. And the minimal tax increases that have been proposed are, every economist said, will do nothing to the job market. So, again, I guess cutting down higher education, ability of people to get higher education, means you'll cut down the ability to have more trained economists, and I was going to use a really bad word, but I won't. And so that gives you a way to put non-thought-out proposals before the legislature.
Thank you, Representative Kahn. Representative Rukavina.
Well, Mr. Chair, you know, I asked you this question on the floor last week, I believe it was, and I'm going to bring it up again in response to Representative Anderson, because Governor Pawlenty claims he did not raise any taxes, and yet his job numbers from the time he took office in 2002 to the time he left, or 2003 to the time he left December, have zero. Well, I think about 4,000 jobs created. On the other hand, Arne Carlson, who raised the sales tax during his 8 years, created 380-some-thousand jobs. Rudy Perpich, who also inherited a severe recession, raised taxes and created 350,000 jobs. And Governor Ventura created 60,000, I think, in his 4 years. Those are the numbers, Representative Anderson. So, you know, I just, you know, challenge you to show me where there was job growth when there was no taxes in this country. I mean, in this state and country, for that matter. I mean, you know, perhaps they've created jobs in China or Mexico or Pakistan or somewhere, but there were no jobs created in this state.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Chair, and just briefly, Representative Rukavina, what committee did you chair the last 4 years?
Jobs Committee, and I got orders, Mr. Chair, and I got orders to cut three of the 4 years. The first year we increased the Department of Employment and Economic Development, we increased their budget, and then we used stimulus money to give them some extra money.
Well,
and then
Mr.
the last
Representative Rukavina, I've got the three. I think I still have the floor, but
no,
go ahead.
You asked me a question, and so I was responding.
Representative Rukavina.
So, by the way, you know, that Christmas present's getting a little less nice, if you aren't nice. But anyway, and then the last year, when I finally had to keep cutting and cutting, I didn't vote for my own bill on the House floor. You just can't keep doing that. And I'm just asking you to show us, since you made the statement and others keep making the statement around here, prove to me where no new taxes meant jobs, because there were no jobs created in this state. Absolutely none in 8 years. So I don't know where you come off with this, that if we increase taxes, and conversely, when Arnie increased the sales tax, I believe, from 6% to 6.5%, there were 380,000 jobs created. And Rudy did the same. There were 350,000. So I don't know what facts you use, but, you know.
Well,
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Chair, Representative Rukavina, you sit in a wonderful position in the fact that you were chair the last 4 years, that you complained that there was no job growth, and yet you were in charge of the Jobs Economic Development Committee. When it came to the actual vote, I think Representative Lencheski had a bill that increased taxes. It included an increase in the cigarette taxes that we pay, and you voted against that as well. So I'm just curious as to what your plan will be. I know you voted against Governor Dayton's plan on the House floor, and I'm looking forward to the chance to have a good, hard look at the plan that you propose in addressing our $5 billion budget deficit.
Well, Mr. Chair,
Representative Rukavina.
I can't prolong this, Representative Anderson, but I believe that any time Representative Lencheski had a progressive tax bill, I supported her. Where is she? Is she here? Oh, maybe she's not on the committee. I've always supported progressive taxes. And, you know, where I come from, greed is the biggest sin. So, not boozing and smoking. So, I don't vote for those sin taxes because they're not progressive. So, that, you know, my plan, again, is an income tax is the fairest tax.
Members, to the Rukavina A3 amendment, a roll call having been requested, the committee legislative assistant will take the roll.
Representative Downey.
No.
Representative Carlson.
Aye.
Representative Abler.
No.
Representative Bruce Anderson.
No.
Representative Sarah Anderson.
No.
Representative Beard.
Nay.
Representative Breinert.
Yes.
Representative Biskins.
No.
Representative Champion. Representative Davids.
No.
Representative Eakin.
Yes.
Representative Garofalo.
No.
Representative Greiling.
Yes.
Representative Gunther.
No.
Representative Hackbarth. Representative Hamilton.
No.
Representative Hornstein.
Yes.
Representative House.
No.
Representative Huntley.
Yes.
Representative Kahn.
Yes.
Representative Kiffmeyer.
No.
Representative Lanning.
No.
Representative Lincheski. Representative McNamara.
No.
Representative Nornis.
No.
Representative Pawlowski.
Representative Pawlowski votes yes.
Representative Rukavina.
Yes.
Representative Slawick.
Yes.
Representative Smith.
No.
Representative Wagenius. Representative Westrom.
No.
Representative Holberg.
No.
Members, there being 18 nays and 11 ayes, the Rukavina A3 amendment does not pass. To the A5 amendment,
Mr. Chair,
Representative Holberg.
If I might, both the A5 and the A6 amendments would fall into this category. If you look at House Rule 4.03 under Clause 4, it states that the budget resolution must not specify, limit, or prescribe revenues or expenditures by any category other than those specified in the clauses 1, 2, 3, and 4, which include net expenditures for the next biennium, budget reserve and cash flow account, spending limits for each budget category represented by a major finance and revenue bill identified earlier. And it can set limits for funds other than the general fund. But in both the A5 and A6 amendment, it goes on to specify specific revenues in other areas that are not included in this area of House rules. And so I don't want to get into a big fight here. We can certainly vote them down. But Representative Carlson, after a review of the rules, I'm hoping that you will agree with me and for the minority to withdraw the A5 and 6 amendments.
Representative Holberg, thank you. That's my observation, too, having looked in detail at Rule 4.03, but I would welcome comments from the minority.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, if the authors of the amendments choose to proceed, I would prefer that we take the A6 amendment up first. And I think that you'd have to have a motion before you before we would try to impose the rule. And there hasn't been a motion made yet. So if there were to be a motion, if it could be the A6 first.
Thank you, Representative Carlson. Is there somebody who would rule the A6?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Holberg.
If I might, I would like to make a motion that the A6 be out of order. Relative to House Rule 4.03 and ask for roll call vote.
Representative Holberg, getting some counsel here that it is actually from a procedural standpoint most appropriate to have the author move the amendment and then you could raise your objection and I, as chair, could rule on it. So, Representative Eakin, to your amendment, the A6 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to move the A6 amendment.
Representative Holberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I would again repeat that I believe that both the A5 and 6 amendments are in violation of House Rule 4.03 for the reasons previously stated. I'm assuming at this point you can, as chair of the committee, either agree or disagree, and if there's a challenge to your ruling, I guess maybe the roll call would be in order if and when we get to that point.
Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Holberg. Representative Rukavina.
To the amendment or motion, I don't know if it's an amendment to his or not, but Representative Holberg, I can't think of a time when I ever stop any vote on anything in a committee because, you know, committee, we've had a pretty loose rules around here that everything's germane or appropriate, and, you know, if you don't like it, you've got a very super majority to vote it down. You can let some of the most vulnerable members off and just vote it down, but we've never had, at least in any committees I've chaired for many, many years, I've never ruled anything out of order in a committee.
Representative Rukavina, appreciate those comments, although I'm looking at the rule and the specific amendment here, and I think we, as a Ways and Means Committee, would be delving into pretty dangerous territory and a very slippery slope if we allowed ourselves here at the Ways and Means Committee to effectively bind the hands of the Finance Committees, whereas Rule 4.03, I think, is very, very clear that we set the budget category targets for each Finance Committee and go no further. So I'm going to, after hearing some of this discussion, stick with the my initial inclination, and that is to rule the A6 amendment out of order, not to shut down discussion, but to recognize that this type of discussion and the details in this amendment are much better heard and discussed in detail in the Finance Committee, for which local government aid is the topic, as compared to here at Ways and Means. And I appreciate that after those committees have done their work and have produced an entire budget package for the Ways and Means Committee, we might have some discussion around the particulars. At this point in time, I think we'd be binding the hands of the committees and we'll rule the amendment out of order. Well, Representative Eakin.
Mr. Chair, thank you. And I would appeal the rule of the chair and ruling of the chair, and I would ask for a roll call on that. Yeah. And opportunity to discuss.
That's right to do that. Representative Eakin has appealed the ruling of the chair and has asked for a roll call. I will welcome some discussion to that motion. However, just to be clear, a yes vote would oppose the ruling of the chair and attempt to overturn the ruling of the chair. A no vote would support the ruling of the chair. Discussion?
Mr. Chair. That's backwards.
The motion is to overrule the chair.
Yeah. So you're requesting the, you're correct, you want the yes vote.
The motion is to overrule the chair. Representative Eakin, could you restate your motion, the motion that we're voting on?
My motion is to appeal the ruling of the chair.
So the motion before us is to overrule the ruling of the chair. Representative Biskins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Advice, parliamentary procedure here.
I believe the correct motion before us now is whether or not the ruling of the chair was correct. A green vote supports the ruling of the chair, and a red vote would oppose the ruling of the chair.
I will respect the parliamentary procedural advice, Representative Biskins. A green vote supports the chair. A red vote opposes the ruling of the chair on the motion. Representative Anderson, discussion?
I'm just wondering, is that truly the way we're supposed to do it, or is this different than on the House floor and that we just actually vote on her motion that this is out of order?
Representative Anderson, my understanding in a committee, the chair could simply make the ruling that I just made without even considering Representative Eakin's motion. I'm granting, I think, some respect to the author of the amendment to make sure that we as a committee have a chance to vote on his motion and move forward from there. Representative Eakin. Yeah,
thank you, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate that opportunity. And I think that when we're talking about targets here, we should be discussing targets that apply to the state. This amendment addresses really a shifting of the burdens onto our local units of government and onto our property taxpayers. What the amendment says is that there will be no cuts to local government aid or the market value credit. And over the last 8 years, there have been significant property tax increases that have resulted from cuts to these programs, and I think it's time for us to address the problems that we're facing at the state here in St. Paul and not be hoisting the problems off onto our local units and onto our local property taxpayers. And so, you know, that these programs are designed to make our property tax system less regressive, and I think everybody knows that our tax system, when you're looking at total taxes, is a very regressive system.
Representative Eakin, if I could just ask that your comments be to the motion that we're actually voting on as compared to your original amendment. We are going to take a vote here in just a few minutes, and I'd like to get us to the motion before us as compared to the content of your amendment.
Sure. Well, Mr. Chair, thank you. And I guess my main concern is, again, that we should be setting targets that deal with put the problem squarely in the lap of the state. I don't think that we should be passing the buck off onto the local units and increasing property taxes around the state. The governor has made a commitment not to raise local property taxes through cuts to these programs. I think that it behooves us in the legislature to, at the very start, at this critical juncture in the legislative process, make it clear to the people of Minnesota that we will not be raising their property taxes and that we will not be shirking our responsibilities in shifting them onto the backs of our local units. So with that, again, I would ask that people vote no on the appeal of the ruling.
Representative Eakin, thank you. And members, I'm going to call for the roll call vote that has been requested. I'm sorry, Representative Kahn. Just to be clear, members, the vote that we are taking has absolutely nothing to do with local government aid. The motion before us is whether an amendment that goes deeper than Rule 4.03 allows should be germane to this discussion today as we're setting our initial budget targets. So, members, I'm going to ask the committee legislative assistant to take the roll on the Eakin amendment.
Are you cutting off debate? Is that what you called the question?
Representative Rukavina.
I have a call-up question rule in this.
Mr. Chairman.
Very briefly, Representative Kahn.
First of all, you know, I'm sorry I did not realize, in all the years I've served on Ways and Means or equivalent, I've never needed to have my copy of Mason's and my copy of the rules with me. But it's obviously from now on that will be what we need. But we do not call the question. We do not call the question in committee. And specifically, when you look at Mason's and you look at committee behavior versus House behavior, Mason's specifically allows more leeway in committee than it does on the House floor. And whereas this might be a perfectly appropriate ruling for the House floor, it is not appropriate for committee. I'll give a specific example. No, and I'm sorry, if I had my copy, I'd be doing a better job on this. But, for example, in order to call for a reconsideration of a motion, on the House floor, you have to have voted on the prevailing side. That is not needed in committee. And there are specific examples throughout Mason's, again, where the rules in committee are much more lenient than on the House floor. So whereas I think your ruling might be appropriate on the House floor, it's totally inappropriate in committee, and I would urge members to vote that way. Committee discussion should be much more open than it is. And above all, I know that you can't call the question in committee. So.
Thank you, Representative Kahn. To the Eakin motion, again, to restate, this is not a vote on local government aid. It is a vote on the appropriateness of the amendment.
You know, we're about to go to a vote, and you're editorializing on what this vote means. It's up to us to interpret what the vote means, not you.
Thank you, Representative Carlson. I'm attempting to clarify that the vote is on the procedural motion, whether to even have this amendment before us for a vote. With that, the committee legislative assistant will take the roll, and again, to repeat, a yes vote supports the ruling of the chair, and no vote opposes the ruling of the chair.
Representative Downey.
Yes.
Representative Carlson.
No.
Representative Abler.
Yes.
Representative Bruce Anderson.
Yes.
Representative Sarah Anderson.
Yes.
Representative Beard.
Aye.
Representative Breinert. Representative Biskins.
Yes.
Representative Champion. Representative Davids.
Yes.
Representative Eakin.
No.
Representative Garofalo.
Yes.
Representative Greiling.
No.
Representative Gunther.
Yes.
Representative Hackbarth. Representative Hamilton.
Yes.
Representative Hornstein.
No.
Representative House.
Yes.
Representative Huntley.
No.
Representative Kahn.
No.
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Yes.
Representative Lanning.
Yes.
Representative Lincheski. Representative McNamara.
Yes.
Representative Nornes.
Yes. Yes.
Representative Filowski.
No.
Representative Rukavina.
Mr. Chair, I refuse to vote on this motion. I think it's illegal.
Representative Slawik.
No.
Representative Smith.
Yes.
Representative Wagenius.
No.
Representative Westrom.
Yes.
Representative Holberg.
Thank you. Yes.
The ayes being 18, the nays being 10, and abstentions 1, the ruling of the chair prevails.
Mr.
And
Chair.
We are on to the A5, if somebody would like to offer the A5.
Mr. Chair, if I might. Representative Rukavina, we're not debating particular elements of a bill here. The issue that we discussed was about what House rules allow the Ways and Means Committee to do and not do. So, I mean, I think that I run a pretty open committee, and I think rules matter, and the points made about if we in the Ways and Means Committee start adopting amendments to the targets that tie the hands of the committees beyond our the authority given to us in the House rules, I believe that that's not a good thing for the good of the House as a whole. And so that's my point. Maybe we, you know, should just vote. If you want to bring up the next amendment, we'll just vote it down under that issue. But it's House rules do not allow us to constrain the activity of the fiscal committees beyond setting targets as prescribed in 4.03.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Representative Rukavina.
Chair, Madam Chair, I'm not saying you're not fair. I'm just saying you could be a hell of a lot fairer. That's all.
And Mr. Chairman,
Representative Carlson,
if I may qualify a bit my comment about when you're editorializing from the chair, where, in my view, you were crossing the line is when you were beginning to cast dispersions, if you will, on the motivation of members and how they're voting, and that is a long tradition that's not appropriate. To discuss the issue is fine, but when you began to move in the direction of what our motivation may or may not be, that's where the line would be. So I'll stop there. But, Mr. Chairman, when we get to the resolution, I would request a roll call vote. And I don't know if the
Thank you, Representative Carlson.
A6 amendment is going to be moved or not. I don't think so.
The A5.
The A5 apparently will not be moved. So, Mr. Chairman, if I may, you know, what we tried to do here this morning
was Carlson, yep.
Point out some of what we thought were weaknesses in the majority party's position. We brought forward an education amendment dealing with higher education. We talked a bit about tuition. Quite frankly, what we really should be talking about is not tuition alone, but the cost of attendance. And that's, as Representative Rukavina pointed out, escalating to the point where a major concern is the student debt. It's now taking many students 6 and sometimes 7 years to complete a 4-year degree simply because they have to work more. I did comment earlier about the role in the job creation of research at our colleges and universities and the University of Minnesota in particular. We didn't get to the health and human services discussion, but I do have to point out that under the House budget resolution, the impact on long-term care, on health care overall, is truly a major negative in the resolution that is before us. We did try with an amendment. Both caucuses campaigned on job creation, and Rukavina's first amendment dealing with jobs and economic development was an extremely important one when we look at the unemployment rates in the state of Minnesota. We did try as best we could, and admittedly it did get tied up in a procedural question and the rules, but the impact of your particular proposal that's before us on property taxes. It appears when you look at the tax line that there's going to be major reductions in aid to our counties, which impacts on every single member. Aid to our cities will be a major impact on many of the members. And those counties and cities, keep in mind, those cuts are about 50 cents now on the dollar is the new estimate in terms of what property taxes will go up across the state. And I may be corrected on this, but when I look at your numbers, it looks like you probably will be revisiting the amounts that you had in House File 130 relative to the reduction of aid to cities and counties, which means that there will probably be cuts in the neighborhood of $500 million plus. And if you apply that 50 cents on that, you can see what property taxes are going to go up across the state of Minnesota. There were references to Governor Dayton and his proposals, and we all know, and he's had press conferences, and those change orders are coming forward. So the governor's budget is changing. He's identified that, and I've got from his press conference the various changes that press conferences that he's going to be making. So I think we have to keep in mind that that isn't the same budget that he was required to introduce under the law based on the November forecast, but will be changing as a result of the February forecast. So I as a member of this committee, have huge problems with what you have before us, and I wish you were using a more balanced approach to the state budget. But again, I would ask a roll call vote. I would encourage a no vote on this resolution.
Thank you, Representative Carlson. Representative Holberg, to that point.
I'm not sure if you've got people that want to speak here, but if we're not able to take the roll call right now, then we will recess to the call of the chair. It'll probably be 9:30 or 10 tonight. So it's up to the will of the committee whether they want to vote now or come back late tonight.
Members, I have two folks who have wished to speak. If they could keep their comments to very brief time periods, we will take a vote here in just 3 minutes before 11:30. Thank you.
I don't want to have us sit here until 9:30 tonight, so I'll make my comment very brief. But what Representative Carlson did was give the aggregate on the impact on property taxes. Let me bring it down to what it would affect an individual household, because I got my property tax statement this weekend. My property taxes on an ordinary three-bedroom, story-and-a-half house went up $597.98. I didn't do the percentage increase. I'll do it for the next meeting, but that's way over 10%. So when you look at the consequences of this proposal for individuals, I hope you keep that in mind, because that is the consequence of a high property tax move.
Representative Grayling, briefly, and then we will take our vote.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I just wanted to, as long as we have Bill Marks's very nice budget target chart in front of us, Representative Grothlow and I just spoke to a school group, and we've had this discussion in the Education Finance Committee, but at least for this group, the Ways and Means Committee, I want people to look at the education difference, house minus the base for and so forth, that education is, if we're looking at the nonpartisan staff information, it is cut $11.2 million. It's not very much, but I just want to have us on this committee, at least, when we have the chart before us, to be straight in case Representative Grothlow or others are running around later saying education funding was increased and so forth. He's taking into account the $500 million stimulus money that was never cut from the base. It was just supplanted and then put back. and then there are extra students, and they are paid for. And if, and we all know on this committee, if you go biennium to biennium, and still, instead of using base to base, you come out with different different interpretations. But the way we always compare budget to budget is this chart right here, base to base, and education is cut 11.2. So I hope everyone in this room will at least say that accurately. Thank you.
Representative Garofalo, very briefly.
Very briefly, Mr. Chairman. And this, I know the legislature is a different place, but in this world, when the DFL was in charge, the state commitment to education went down. And in my friend Representative Greiling's language, that was a strong commitment to education. And now with the Republicans in charge, we're increasing the commitment. And using her language, it's a reduction. I think that the numbers going up is good for education, that the numbers going down were bad for education. I think the numbers stand for themselves.
Thank you, members. Representative Holberg renews her motion to pass House Resolution 01, the budget resolution of the Ways and Means Committee. As amended. Thank you, Representative Biskins. To pass as amended, a roll call having been requested, the committee legislative assistant will take the roll.
Representative Downey.
Yes.
Representative Carlson.
No.
Representative Abler.
Yes.
Representative Bruce Anderson.
Yes.
Representative Sarah Anderson.
Yes.
Representative Beard.
Aye.
Representative Briner.
No.
Representative Biskins.
No.
Representative Champion. Representative Davids.
Yes.
Representative Eakin.
No.
Representative Garofalo.
Yes.
Representative Greiling.
No.
Representative Gunther.
Yes.
Representative Hackbart. Representative Hamilton.
Yes.
Representative Hornstein.
No.
Representative House.
Yes.
Representative Huntley.
No.
Representative Kahn.
No.
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Yes.
Representative Lanning.
Yes.
Representative Lincheski.
No.
Representative McNamara.
Yes.
Representative Nornes.
Yes.
Representative Pulowski.
No.
Representative Rukavina.
No.
Representative Slawik.
No.
Representative Smith.
Yes.
Representative Wagenius.
No.
Representative Westrom.
Yes.
Representative Holberg.
Yes.
There being 17 ayes and 13 nays, the motion passes, and House Resolution 01 passes as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Committee.
Members, we are adjourned. Thank you.